Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the October 23rd edition of Speedway Digest, Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight our main focus will be on the Tudor United Sports Car Championship, as well as a brief discussion about the NASCAR chase to the championship and more. As you recall from last week, I've decided to bring in a co-host from time to time to help me improve not only the flow of the program as a whole, but to also give my listeners a bit of a different perspective. This week, we are happy to welcome 19-year-old racer and friend of the show, Michael Mullally, back into the Thunderdome. Since the show first started, we've tried to shed a bit more light onto the ins and outs of the Tudor Championship Series, which combined the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series and the American Le Mans Series, taking what could be argued to be the best of both and coming up with a hybrid of sorts. We've been fortunate to be joined on a few occasions by Tristan Nunez, driver of the Mazda Skyactiv-D clean diesel prototype, and teammate to last week's guest, Tom Long. Tonight, Mr. Nunez has agreed to come back on the program with us, and we're pleased to welcome him to the show right now. Hey, Tristan, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. First off, I'd like to welcome you back, and it's great to have you back on the program. How was your 2014 season as a whole?
Hey, man, it's great to be back on the show. Thank you so much for having me. And to start that off, you know, it was very impressive, actually. I can't really find the correct words to really describe it, but, you know, it started off a little shaky, as you would expect, with a brand-new car, brand-new motor. We managed to actually get to the last 45 minutes of the Daytona 24, which none of us were expecting. A little off pace, but, you know, we survived. That's the biggest goal we had. But fast-forwarding the Petit, just seeing the improvements from the start of the year to now is just immense. I mean, we've really done something that's never been done before. And as John Dunan always describes it, you know, it's truly a miracle. And it's just really humbling to be around such a devoted group of individuals at Speed Source and with Mazda. And they just truly never give up. If there's a problem, they find a solution to it and keep moving forward. So it's I'm very impressed and excited to move forward.
You had a pretty impressive year, and the Mazda Skyactiv prototype is really an amazing example of racing design as well as engineering, but it seems to have been plagued by more than its share of mechanical gremlins throughout the 2014 season. Do you think you've been able to fix those, for work most of the bugs out, and are you ready to be a contender for next season?
Yeah, you know, it's a bunch of unknowns right now. Until we actually get the new goodies in from Japan and actually go testing with it and, you know, just try everything that the engineers have written down on the board, there's really no way of knowing. But, you know, the guys and all of us really think that the improvements are going to be, you know, rapid moving forward, as they have been at the start of the year. So I really have no doubt in my mind that will be competitive with the competition, if not, you know, the closest that we've ever been.
Which racetracks do you think the Mazda performed best at in 2014, and what's your particular favorite track that you race on in the series?
You know, I'm always a sucker for Sebring. You know, the bumpy, mm-hmm. You know, you can't see at night. It's really the one track that really gets to me every time, ever since I drove the first time in Skip Barber at it. And, yeah, definitely that's the track I'm looking forward to, especially with the increased power that we're planning on having and some new aero adjustments that could help us around that place. So I'm definitely looking forward to Sebring, as well as, of course, Mazda Racer Laguna Seca, which was our strongest track this past season. So really looking forward to going back to those two tracks.
Can you compare driving the Mazda RX-8 as opposed to the Protect?
Well, I never got the opportunity to drive the RX-8, but compared to the Mazda 6, mm-hmm. the one we drove in 2013, if I get my dates mixed up. You know, it's completely different. There's really no way to find any similarities besides what the motor felt like, because it was basically the same power plant. A little bit of an increase in power this year than last year, but you know, same feeling, same sound. But as far as the chassis is concerned, they're completely different animals. I know you got a lot of roll in the GT car versus the prototype. Mm-hmm. So much more grip in a prototype car, and everything just, you know, I've always grown up driving high downforce cars, and everything works better for you. You know, when you want to turn in, it turns in. You don't have to throw the car into the corner like you would with a GT car. It does it by itself. So it's, you know, the prototype car is essentially easier to drive but harder on your body. So, you know, training this year has been definitely had a step up my game. My neck was killing me after Watkins Glen especially, and just my body in general. You know, you really got to keep up with the G-forces. You know, being enclosed in a cockpit for a small cockpit like that for that amount of time, there's a lot to get used to.
How do you think IMSA did with the balance of performance this season, and do you think the diesel power was a help or a hindrance?
It's tough to say right now, considering we're not in the fight for the lead right now. But I think for the first year, I think they did a very good job at it. You know, it's the first year that, you know, these two completely different series came together and raced on the same track. You know, the P2 cars essentially were completely different than DP cars, and they had to balance them out somehow. So, you know, the sanctioning body at IMSA really did stepped up their game and really got it pretty equal towards the end of the season. And there's always going to be that, you know, the P2 car is going to be better at some tracks. The DP car is going to be better, obviously, at longer tracks like Daytona. It's just the nature of the cars. But as far as a somewhat of a balance, I think they did a very good job for a first year. And there's definitely a lot of improvement that needs to go into it. But for a first year, I'm very impressed.
I noticed you've been pretty busy lately, attending a bunch of functions, including Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards and the Youth Driving Summit in Washington, Virginia this week. How did that go, and what's next in your agenda?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy as far as, you know, getting my face out there in the media. You know, as you mentioned, the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Sports Awards, and as well as the my second trip to California, which was for the Teen Vogue party. That was, you know, more in the Hollywood spotlight rather than the racing spotlight or the Don't Touch and Drive spotlight. And then recently just got back from D.C., which was a very cool experience. You know, it's really humbling to see that I'm a part of something that, you know, I'm not the only teenager that's that has a concern of distracted driving. You know, I was paired with seven other peers like myself. We put together the summit. You know, we did all the planning for it. We did everything for it, and you know, it was really cool to bounce off some idea with my peer mentors, and really, you know, push forward with the cause and find out new ways in order to get the word out. So, you know, I've been really busy on this off season so far, and it's just going to keep getting busier. But as far as you know, appearances go, I don't think I'm going to have any until the start of the season. It's just going to be, you know, busy at the shop, going to the shop, having meetings, and really just getting a plan for next year.
When does your testing start at the at PBIR? I know you do a bunch of testing there. You'll be starting that in the next month or so? Or?
At the moment, the cars are completely apart. So, you know, I'm sure the Speed Source guys can get those up and ready. But as far as a particular test date, I haven't heard any information, but I'm sure in the near future we'll be on the track pretty soon.
I know you recently competed in the Sunshine Stakes, the harness race in Delray Beach, and won in the celebrity division. What similarities, if any, can you draw between horse racing and auto racing?
Well, I can tell you the differences. Well, the horse doesn't really actually have an engine, and it has a mind of its own. So there was some confusion in that end. You know, you can hold the reins all you want and tell it to go left, but unless the horse actually feels like it wants to go left, it's not going to do it. It's probably going to go right or go straight. So, you know, it was you're coming from a race car where you have completely full control. It was a little different. But, you know, as far as the similarities go, you know, it was cool to go around that oval and see that, you know, in any kind of racing, whether you're on a horse or a car, there's always a racing line. And mm-hmm. Thankfully, I had a good jockey next to me. And we got together and figured out the fast line and managed to pull away.
Yeah. Now I got my friend Michael Mullally from Washington has a few questions for you.
Oh, perfect.
What made you decide to spread the word about texting and driving?
That's a very good question. Well, it all started with my mother, believe it or not. You know, the woman you look up to right from wrong. And it was when I was 15 years old, I was in the passenger seat with her. I think we were coming back from the racetrack or the go-kart track. And she was on her phone. I think she was emailing. And we almost got an accident. She almost rear-ended somebody. It was almost a really, really big accident. And luckily, we came away from that without any harm, actually no scratch at all, just a really close call. And terrified from that experience, you know, I pulled her over on the side of the road, and I really ripped into her. It was just a really scary experience for both of us. And from that moment forward, we decided to make a stop to it in our family, as well as start the campaign. We started by putting the Don't Text and Drive logo on the side of my race car that season. And that's also when we started going to high schools and really just spreading the word as much as we can. So it's really taken off in the past couple of years. So it's been really good.
Has racing always been a dream of yours?
Yeah, actually, you know, that's a good question as well. Tennis was actually my first sport. You know, I grew up playing tennis. I started playing tennis when I was 8 years old. That was because my dad's a professional tennis coach. But, you know, and I just never really had the passion for it. And, you know, I never won a tournament. I just didn't want to be on the court. And I've always been a racing fan. I always watched racing with my dad on the TV, watching Formula One, NASCAR, you name it. I was watching it with my dad. And sure enough, I got the opportunity because my dad was coaching the son of Derek Bell, who's a 5-time Le Mans winner. So really big in the racing world, and he urged me to get a go-kart. And from that moment forward, I just really had the passion for it. The first time I got a go-kart, I just loved every second of it. And I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
How did it feel to be the youngest winner in ALMS history?
Yeah, that was incredible. You know, it started out as a difficult weekend in Baltimore on the street courses. But we managed to figure everything out by race time. We started actually in the back of the field. And Charlie, my co-driver, made his way up the best he could. And then I took over and really just drove a calm race. And everything just kind of fell into place. And I'll tell you what, that was one of the happiest days of my life. I mean, that was just a win that I really deeply wanted. And, you know, all the hard work leading up to it was all worth it in the end. So that was definitely a highlight of my career.
What does it mean to you to be named face in the crowd?
Yeah, that was a while ago when I was first starting racing in IMSA Lights, and that was also a really cool experience. You know, it really just showed that, you know, what hard work and dedication can do. And you know, it just proved to me that I needed to keep working hard. And sure enough, everything fell into place. I got my drive with Mazda. And, you know, that little face in the crowd thing really just, that gave me the integrity to keep pushing.
What influenced the switch from tennis player to race car driver?
What was that again?
What influenced the switch from tennis player to race car driver?
What influence? Let's see. Well, back to that passion thing again, you know, I just, I really felt like I didn't have the passion for tennis. I never wanted to be on the tennis court. My dad, my parents were the one that were pushing me to do it. You know, I did have talent in tennis. I could have gone to a pretty good college and played tennis, but I just didn't want to be on the court. And when I when I went into the go-kart for my first time, that's when I knew that's what I really wanted to do, because there was nothing better than going out and winning my first race. I mean, that was just really surreal.
I know you mentioned that you had, your father had been involved with coaching with some of Derek Bell's kids. Do you ever get involved with the Barrett Jackson thing at all? Have you been out there? I know Justin Bell is one of the big Barrett Jackson analysts now.
Yeah, that's actually funny you say that. You know, without even knowing that, I went with a buddy of mine to the Barrett Jackson show in Palm Beach. Might have been 3 years ago. And without even knowing, we were just going there to see some cool cars and just hang out a little bit. And sure enough, I see Justin walking. Like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Same thing. He asked me what I was doing there, and we kind of, yeah, just. I mean, that was the first time I actually met him. I never met Justin until then. I always talked to Derek and, of course, his younger son Sebastian. But that was the first time I actually met Justin. And that was a pretty cool experience.
Do you have any plans on getting a car collection of your own in the future?
You know, I'm in the earlier stages of my career. You know, the getting paid is not one of my biggest priorities. I'm just trying to keep on the track right now. But hopefully in the future, I love cars. I love any kind of car. So definitely, if I have the money to do that, without a doubt, I'd be a car collector.
Yeah. Looks like we have time for a couple of questions for Tristan. If you're interested in calling, please call in now to 215-383-3681. Did you, I know you had some interest in possibly heading out to Fright Nights there at the South Florida Fairgrounds. You made out there yet?
I have not. I was actually thinking about going next week prior to my birthday. So
there you go.
Definitely want to get that done. I've never been. For some reason, I live right next to it and never been, so I'm definitely going to get out there. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It is amazing how big of a deal Halloween's become here in South Florida. I think there's at least four big haunted attractions just in Palm Beach County alone. And then there's also all the ones in Central Florida. They're huge now, and it's a really big business.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, when I was younger, I used to tell myself that it was all because it was on my birthday that they did that. So, But now, you know, growing up, I know that it's just a business-type deal. So it kind of crushed my dreams a little bit, but it's all right.
What's your next don't text and drive function you're going to be involved in? Do you have any big promotions going on with that? I know you did the go-kart thing a little while ago.
Actually, it's not going to be too big, but my actual birthday party is going to be open for adults, and we're going to auction off some stuff and do a bit of a raffle during my party. So, that's probably the next thing that we're going to do, just to try to, you know, get some more raise some more money while we can. You know, there's never an excuse not to try to raise money for the cause.
There you go. Well, once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the program, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again right before the next year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm always free. You know that. So please don't be shy to ask me. I love coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was driver Tristan Nunez of the Mazda prototype in the Tudor United Sports Car Series. I'd like to thank him for taking time out of his busy schedule to join me in the Thunderdome, as well as Michael Mullally. And next week, we're going to be welcoming stock car driver Brian Keselowski to the program, as well as your phone calls. Brian's brother Brad has been in the news lately. You might have heard of him.
Only eight drivers remain in championship contention as the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup kicks off its eliminator round with the Goodies Headache Relief Shot 500 at Martinsville Speedway on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Points for the remaining drivers in the chase: Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Newman, Carl Edwards, Jeff Gordon, Matt Kenseth, and Denny Hamlin have been reset to 4,000. Following Martinsville, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series will visit Texas Motor Speedway November 2nd at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and conclude the Eliminator Round at Phoenix International Raceway November 9th, 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Like the previous two chase segments, a win by a championship-eligible driver guarantees advancement to Homestead. The four winless championship qualifying drivers, lowest in points, will be eliminated after Phoenix. The advancing four drivers left in NASCAR's playoffs will move on to one race championship round at Homestead Miami Speedway, November 16th, 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
No driver without Chase Elgridley has won a race so far in NASCAR's playoffs. Four drivers, Kyle Busch, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, and Casey Kane, were knocked out of the chase following Talladega. Six-time series champion Johnson led the most laps, 84, at the Alabama track, but he is unable to close the race and defend his 2013 title. Of the final eight drivers, Jeff Gordon, 4, 2001, 1998, 1997, and 1995, Brad Keselowski with one win in 2012, and Matt Kenseth, one win in 2003, had previously won series championships. Voting for the 2014 NASCAR Nationwide Most Popular Driver Awards kicked off Thursday, October 9th. This season, fans can not only vote for their favorite driver at www.nascar.com/mostpopulardriver, but also their favorite moment at www.nascar.com/nnstopmoment until Ford Championship Weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. In other NASCAR Nationwide Series news, former guest on the program Blake Koch will pilot the number 44 Celsius Flow Fusion Camry at Homestead Miami Speedway. Koch is teaming up with Grammy-nominated and multi-award-winning hip-hop artist Flo Rida to promote Flo Rida's new workout powder, Celsius Flow Fusion. Flo Rida will serve as honorary starter for the Ford EcoBoost 300. At this point, I'm considering going down to Homestead. I know that the weekend tickets are going like hotcakes on the internet. The eBay is charging way too much money for the Sunday race. They're charging over the list price for Saturday and for Friday as well. Even though yesterday I got a phone call from Homestead Miami saying that there were plenty of tickets available for the entire weekend. So if you were interested in going down to the racetrack, I'd recommend going through through homesteadmiamispeedway.com. and purchase the tickets through them because there are still plenty of seats available. Who's your pick for the champion in the NASCAR Nationwide Series this year after the current elimination last week?
I really don't know. I mean, kind of up in the air with me, I guess. I don't know. I'd like to see one of the underdogs win the championship, but, you know, it's really hard to tell. I mean, it really is. Who's your pick for the championship?
I'm kind of torn right now between Brad Keselowski and Jeff Gordon, because when I was younger, I was really a huge Jeff Gordon fan. I thought he was pretty cool. When I was really little, I was a big Bill Elliott fan, just because the whole Awesome Bill from Dawsonville thing, that was always kind of neat. And I always thought Jeff Gordon had the best people. It seemed he had the fastest car. But for the past several years, Jeff Gordon hasn't been the Jeff Gordon of old. And it seems like this year he is. So, and Keselowski, he was really, really good in 2012. And it seems like this year he might be just a tad bit better. So if he's able to keep the momentum going they got last week, that'll definitely help him out for the next few races. And it'll be pretty close to the end.
Yeah. I guess a part of me wants to see Jeff Gordon win just because I do feel like, you know, he's done really good this year. So, But, I mean, there's a lot of other really great drivers that have a really good shot at it, too. But I guess if I did have to pick, I would say Jeff Gordon. Or Joey Logano, just because I feel like they're the two that no one kind of expect to win it, so I feel mm-hmm. like one of them should, if you know what I mean, kind of.
Yeah, I think Joey Logano will be interesting as a champion, but I think people say that Keselowski comes off as a little arrogant sometimes, but I kind of think that that Logano has the same sort of issues. He comes off as the little young know-it-all type guy, and that grates on my nerves a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really like Joey Logano. I mean, I've always been a Tony Stewart fan, and I was always a 20-car mm-hmm. fan. And so then when he got in the 20-car, I wasn't really sure, but I'm a big Joey Logano fan. But no, I do agree with you. He does have some arrogance to him. But mm-hmm. he's a good driver, so. But I mean, yeah, I do see what you're saying. He does have some arrogance. You can tell by how he thought in his interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a good driver, but I think that when they were calling the sliced bread thing the best thing that ever happened in NASCAR, some of that went straight to his head, and it sort of stuck.
Yeah. I forgot about the sliced bread, but no, you have a great point. I do think that probably did go to his head a little bit, and mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's good. You can't take that from him, but I do think that you're right. That probably did go to his head.
As I said before on this program, I think I probably even told it to you at one point. My grandmother, when she had a time after my grandfather had died, she was dating a guy whose name was or his stage name was Speedo the Speedway Clown, and he got that name because he traveled all over the country, dirt tracks. He did some ovals, all sorts of things as a fully dressed clown. With a little car, and he actually met Joey Logano when he was like 5 years old, and my grandmother talked to Joey Logano's mother for a few times to try and help her out with business and promotion issues, and I thought that was kind of cool. So I do have a soft spot for Joey Logano, but I definitely think that the sliced bread thing went to his head. But if he's able to win the championship this year, then there's probably something to that.
Yeah. Since you brought up the sliced bread thing, which I totally forgot about, I'm kind of surprised that, you know, because when Mark Martin retired, I was like, oh, he'll be back. I'm kind of honestly surprised he hasn't been back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but, yeah.
It is kind of interesting, but I think Mark Martin's having... I don't think he's really using that the stupid little rocking chair that Speed gave him several years ago when he supposedly retired. But I think he's probably enjoying his retirement. He's hanging out at the dealership there in Arkansas and going to all the different rap concerts, which is kind of interesting. Because you never really think of Mark Martin as the big gangster rap fan, but apparently he is. So.
No, I would never have thought of him to be a rap fan, like, mm-hmm. ever. But, well, yeah, that is very interesting.
He's one of the big Flo Rida fans. I think he's actually the one who got Flo Rida involved in NASCAR to begin with, which is, that's something. You don't really think of a really country little guy from Arkansas to be the big rap guy. But I think part of that probably came from his son, because Matt Martin, after he did his little bit of driving professionally, which seemed like he was going to be the next big sliced bread thing, but Matt Martin, he changed when he became a teenager. I think his whole perspective on life changed, and Mark Martin tried to keep up with it. And I think Mark Martin might actually be more of a modern thing than the son is now. So. For people who are interested, the schedule for events for this weekend, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, will be at the Goody's Headache Relief Shot 500 at Martinsville Speedway on Sunday, October 26th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. The television coverage will begin at 1 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. It will also be on MRN Radio, as well as Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 90. The distance of the race is scheduled for 263 miles or 500 laps. But we all know that if the racing is anything like last weekend, the advertised distance might add a mile or two to the end, and that'll definitely change some of the people's perspective on on how to take fuel and tires and everything else at the end. The Camping World Truck Series will also be at Martinsville this weekend for the Kroger 200 on Saturday, October 25th at 1:30 p.m. It'll be on television on Fox at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and on radio at MRN and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 90. The distance of that event is scheduled for 105.2 miles or 200 laps. There is no nationwide series event this weekend. Their next race will be the O'Reilly Auto Parts Challenge at the Texas Motor Speedway on Saturday, November 1st at 3:30 p.m., with the television coverage beginning right at 3:30 p.m. on ESPN2. Which race are you looking forward to?
The next one, because I feel like there's going to be so much retaliation and it's going to be awesome.
I know after Martinsville in the past, they've had some post-race activity in the garage area, and it might be interesting. I also like the layout of the track. I think it's kind of neat with the concrete patch thing that everybody's aiming for all the time to try and get extra grip or whatever, but I'm not really that sure how much extra grip they're going to get from it, because that concrete thing is pretty worn in now after the past, it's been like 5 years since they made the adjustment to the track. So that'll be something that'll be interesting to ask Brian Keselowski about next week, because I know he's raced there.
Yeah. Who is your pick to win it? This next upcoming race. Sorry.
In Martinsville, I actually think that it won't be one of the chase drivers. My pick is Kurt Busch, because he's always been really good at that track. He's good at the shorter tracks, and he has a lot to prove. And I think he's really leaning on himself now, because he's kind of upset that he got knocked out of the chase in the first round, and he wants to go out with a big bang and prove to Tony Stewart and to Haas that it was a good investment to put him on the team this year.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think he's done a lot better this season than last season or even the season before. So, I can understand wanting to go out with a big bang, but I think he's improved a lot this season.
Yeah. A lot of that's the equipment, too, because he had, the past couple of years, he's had after his issues he had with the press or whatever, and the fact that Penske dropped him, that kind of hurt him. And he was trying to carry the car in a certain way, and I think this year the equipment underneath him has been a lot better. So he hasn't had to carry the car as much. He's just had to try and be as competitive as he can. And by making it to the chase for the first year with the new team, that shows that he's doing pretty well.
Yeah. What do you think of Kyle Busch this season?
Kyle Busch, I don't know. I think he's definitely a character. His little tirade last week after the race, I don't think that gained him many fans, but I don't think he cares either. Seemed like it was sort of the Kyle Busch of old that showed up at the end of last week's race, where he gets out of the car, he puts on his helmet, and he butts his way through the crowd on the way to his bus, and as quickly as he can get into the helicopter and go back home. He definitely had a really great season, though. He was really competitive. He stayed up in the front. He won several races, and this could have been his year, but I think that last week after he got wrecked out, he kind of gave up. And that's sort of in his nature, I suppose. But it'll be interesting to see how it comes out this weekend. And it'll be really good. I think he'll definitely be a contender for the end of the season. And he'll probably be a chase contender all of next year as well.
Yeah. It seems like last year he was like, I don't know, I don't want to say winning everything, but he was unstoppable. And then this season, he's just kind of, I don't know. But it seems like this season, he's just kind of I don't know how to put it without sounding mean, but, I mean, you don't hear him winning as much, I guess. So,
well, I think he dialed it back a little bit.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Because before he was either sort of that thing they say, the checkers or wreckers, he was either winning or he wasn't finishing. I think this year his concern was to try and finish every race. And if he won, that's great. If he didn't win and he was up at least in the front half of the field, that was good too.
Did he ever get that that clean sweep with winning the truck race, the Nationwide, and the Sprint Cup race? Wasn't there a big deal about him winning all three of them or something?
Yeah, I think he did that early in the season. Mm-hmm. But he's moved away from his Nationwide team a little bit because he sold the Nationwide team last year, and now he's just got the truck team. He's got Bubba Wallace and what's the other guy racing for him now. I don't remember the guy's name. It'll come to me. But he's basically got the two guys racing for him now in the truck series, and he's done really well as an owner. And I think that in a way he's interested in becoming the owner champion in the truck series and hoping to get his idea of a good sweep would be to get the owner championship in the truck series and then win the Sprint Cup championship straight out. And that would be the perfect year for Kyle Busch. And hopefully he'll get to that eventually. I think he was really hoping for that this year, and he'll really be pushing for it next season as well. So. Who's your pick to win the Nationwide Series Championship?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really, to be completely honest with you, I haven't really followed Nationwide too much.
Okay.
So I'm not really up to date with my Nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have no doubt that whoever wins it deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't followed that either. This has been an interesting year racing-wise because their schedules have changed a little bit and the races aren't always on they're not always on at the most convenient times. And so I think that's part of the problem with the attendance at the tracks as well, that they're not scheduled for the best times either for people on television or for people to go to the races. And that really screws up their attendance-wise, especially if they just got the one race per day. Now, with Sprint Cup, sometimes people, that's the whole big show thing, and people show up just for the one big race. But when you're there for the truck race or for the Nationwide race, and they just have the one-day, one-ticket thing, and you just see the one set of cars go around, that's not the best deal for your money. Like I said, at Homestead for the last race of the season, the Friday tickets are general admission tickets. They're $35, and you get to see all three series on the same day. You get to see the truck qualifying and the truck series race. You get to see Nationwide practice, and I think the Nationwide qualifying as well. And you also get to see the Cup practice. So for my money, that's the best day to go is Friday. But because it is a Friday, it doesn't get the sort of attendance because people can't just pop up and say, yeah, I'm taking Friday off from work, I'm going down to the truck race. So the truck race is at night too, so that makes for a heck of a long day.
Yeah, that really would.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand though, you know, what you mean by their scheduling and stuff, that does seem a little... I've always been used to, like, races either being on Saturday or Sunday. So I can see how that would mess people up and how that would mess their attendance up. And I prefer Saturday night racing.
cool. Do you do any Wednesday night racing? I know they have that as well. And some of the local short tracks.
I haven't. I wanted to. This season there was a big race at one of the big tracks in Idaho, and that was on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go race that, but, like, it was hard for my dad to get Wednesday off and stuff, and he is really someone that, you know, I can't go race without because, you know, he's a big part of my racing career. So
mm-hmm.
I haven't got to do any Wednesday racing because of the fact that it's on, like, a Wednesday, and it's kind of hard for my dad. But I'm hoping to do some Wednesday racing, but for now I haven't been able to.
Well, it looks like they have a caller on hold. Let's see if they have a comment about the NASCAR Chase to the Championship. Hello, and welcome to the Thursday Night Thunder.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Enjoying the show so far.
Thank you for calling.
Can you hear me? Thanks. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you very much. Do you have any comments? What's your opinion about the NASCAR Chase for the Championship?
Well, I actually got a comment. A couple of my friends are going to be down there this Friday, and I'm glad to hear they're going to be getting their money's worth. It's just unfortunate that there's not going to be any man sex with corny penises and cock balls and sex dicks and cum blasts.
Okay. That was interesting. I apologize to all my normal listeners for that interesting phone call. But as I said, this is a live program, so sometimes interesting things happen. Hopefully we have a more mature caller call in the next time.
You know, I had hope for that one.
It started out
kind of.
It started out well, and then it dropped off rather quickly.
Yeah. It was a good laugh, though, I guess.
That's it. Nope, first time. But
could be one of those long time. Everything.
Exactly. One of those long time listener, first time caller type things. So there you go. That shows the show is becoming popular enough to get crank calls. Apparently, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think on that exciting note, we're going to end the program for this evening. I'd like to thank everybody for coming on. I'd especially like to thank Michael Mullally for joining me again tonight with questions and analysis from a racer's perspective. She'll be joining me from time to time to add her voice to the discussion of some of the issues surrounding modern motorsports, and hopefully to listen to the intelligent callers that we have to this program and the ones who think they're funny from time to time as well. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at radio.speedwaydigest.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read my nearly daily articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwaydigest.com. Some of the articles I wrote today include information on the FIA Formula E, as well as some Formula motorcycle racing from Europe that's going to be coming to the United States back to the Mazda Raceway. I have hopes that that some of the superbike racing will return to Daytona, but that doesn't seem to be in the cards. Did you see that the Daytona 200 won't be being held next year? The motorcycle race.
Didn't.
Yeah, apparently the new promoter of the race wasn't able to come to an agreement with the track because it was called like Daytona Motorsports or something. It's another division of NASCAR and the International Motorsports Association, all different sorts of things. was the main promoter for the AMA, and then they traded off to another team, another promoter, and that other promoter is having some issues in filling out next year's schedule. So it's kind of a shame because the Daytona 200 is older than the Daytona 500. It's older than auto racing in the Daytona area. The motorcycles were on each before the cars were. And next year will be the first year when they're not having the Daytona 200. So they are having other motorcycle events there, don't get me wrong. They're going to have the flat track race. They're going to have the motocross. They're going to have a supercross. But it'll be a shame not to have the big bikes on the super speedway. So just another sign of the times, I suppose. But hopefully it improves.
Definitely.
Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next week, again in the Thunderdome. And have a nice evening.